This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another candidate interviewed today talking to Val Hoyle, Democratic candidate for Congress. The seat being vacated by the retirement of longtime Congressman Peter DeFazio. We've talked before, but Val, thanks for being on again this afternoon.
Well, thank you for asking me, Kyle.
So, first of all, let's get people up to speed if they haven't looked at the voter's pamphlet yet or haven't been following quite so much until ballots started showing up in mailboxes in the past few days. Talk about your background and some of the things you've done prior to your current office.
Sure. I've both been a part of a labor union and worked in the private sector for 25 years in the bicycle industry. That's what brought me out to Oregon. Got active in local politics when found out about the schools and really worked on school funding ballot measures and helping elect candidates. I was a state legislator representing West Eugene and Junction City, and I ran for majority leader of the House because I felt like in the Democratic caucus we needed a downstate voice and someone who would stand up for working people. I ran for labor commissioner in 2018, and I've been the statewide labor commissioner for 4 years. I'm running for Congress with the support and endorsement of Representative Congressman Peter DeFazio, Senators Ron Wyden, Senator Jeff Merkley, the League of Conservation Voters, and many, many others.
Now, the last time we talked, one of the things I noted was that how much you appeared to really like the job of labor commissioner. And I'm curious if it was a tough decision to seek to make this move.
It was a really tough decision. We've done a lot for the Bureau of Labor and Industries. I mean, we've worked with the legislature in a bipartisan way with both business and labor to support increased funding for the agency. So we've increased our staff by 30% and have better outreach to both business and better protections and access for workers. And I feel like we have just gotten to the point where another 4 years, I had a lot of plans. I mean, we've expanded apprenticeship both inside and outside the building and construction trades. Like this, in a couple of days, I'm going to be in Southern Oregon at a pinning ceremony for our first professional structural firefighter apprenticeship program. And it was a really difficult decision, but I think, you know, my whole life, I think you go where you're called. And I know that we need someone representing this district that will continue to be a strong voice for both the urban and rural parts of the district. And I have the experience, I have the background, I have the support of every single labor union in the district. And, you know, as labor commissioner, I've spoken at as many rural chambers of commerce as I have union halls, and we need that kind of approach. So I felt like I was sorry that Peter DeFazio has decided to retire, but and it was difficult, but I've decided that I'm the best person for this job right now.
How do you feel like the campaign is going?
I think it's going well. I've been on the doors. I was knocking in Corvallis yesterday, and we've been in Lane County and, you know, Coos Curry, Lincoln County, throughout the district. We'll be in, you know, Reedsport this week. And the response has been phenomenal. It's been really good. And part of it is I'm the only candidate in the race that people actually know. I've lived here for 22 years, and I've worked in this community for 22 years, and people know me. I mean, I've won election many times in swing districts, and I've worked well across the political spectrum in delivering, you know, I think specifically Douglas Lane and Southern Oregon. I was on the Wildfire Recovery Council and have worked really well with people on figuring out how we get people back in their homes and make sure that we have like the firefighters and that we need to make sure that we can prevent the kind of losses that we had this past time.
If you get the nomination, are you already looking at plans for what a campaign would look like moving towards the general election?
Yes. And I think this is the other reason why I'm the right candidate for this job. My messaging in my campaign isn't going to change from the primary to the general, just like my message at rural chambers of commerce is no different than my message at the union hall. I stand up for working families. I will work to make sure that we support businesses that follow the law to increase jobs in our community, whether it's advocating for the new container port in Coos Bay that will be the first port in the country to be exclusively powered by offshore wind. And, you know, fundamentally, standing up for working families is popular. Jobs, working families, and small businesses is popular both in the primary and the general election.
With DeFazio's retirement and obviously a strong GOP interest in getting this seat, do you see it as being a high-stakes race?
It is a high-stakes race, very much so, and it will be highly targeted this year. And I think it's a high-stakes race because there is such a fundamental difference between myself and the Republican candidate. I want to stand up for jobs and working people, and the Republican candidate, you know, has worked for an organization that undermines the right to organize, undercuts the pensions of working people. And, you know, fundamentally, I have the experience, again, as a union member in the private sector, as a successful legislator, and as labor commissioner. So there's one person that has the experience to be able to represent the community and continue to have that strong voice in Congress, and that's me.
What would your priorities be if elected to serve in Congress?
So my priorities would be, one, to hopefully get on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee in the 4th District. Even prior to Peter DeFazio, we've been lucky enough to have that representation. So to ensure that the investments from the bipartisan infrastructure bill, that money comes back here to Oregon so that, you know, we can increase, put investments into rail, into the container port, into the dam, the levee in Lincoln County and over here in Springfield. I also would hope to get on the Veterans Affairs Committee, you know, working with people at the VA and, you know, with the new medical school. One of the things that I hear, whether it's from employers on the coast or in Douglas County, is that they need more trained workforce. So the work that I've done to expand the apprenticeship model in healthcare and manufacturing and in the building and construction trades is something I want to take to Congress. I mean, we need trained workers, and especially in the medical field, which we just started a surgical technician apprenticeship program, a medical tech apprenticeship program. This is how, when people get paid to learn, this is how we keep our kids in rural communities, by providing those really good jobs and the pathway to that.
Talk more about that apprenticeship concept and what you've done in that area.
Yeah, well, this is one of my favorite subjects. So the apprenticeship model is this. If you take an industry standard, it could be being an electrician, or it could be surgical technician or structural firefighter, or, you know, an insurance adjuster. You take, for the 50% of jobs that need more than a high school degree and less than a college degree, and that's 50% of our jobs, the apprenticeship model, where you have an industry standard, paid supervised on-the-job training, and certified classroom instruction for the registered apprenticeship program, can be really fit into many, many things. And I think the key is that we've served to stigmatize apprenticeship programs as a lesser option to college education. But we've got kids graduating from college with $100,000 in debt, fighting for $15 an hour, when, you know, as an iron worker apprentice, after 2 weeks, you're making $25 an hour. But kids, and I think guidance counselors, don't know that this is available. We just recently, from the legislature, in a bipartisan bill for Future Ready Oregon, got $20 million to put into expanding apprenticeship in manufacturing, in healthcare, and in construction pre-apprenticeship programs. So going into the schools to let people know these jobs are available. So over the next, you know, I'm labor commissioner until January, and I'm going to work every single day on making sure that my agency is protecting workers, supporting businesses following the law, and expanding apprenticeship programs. And I'm very focused on making sure that these dollars and this training gets to our rural communities. I live in a rural community. I've represented rural communities. And again, the biggest thing when I talk to people in rural communities is they say, we want the jobs here so that our kids can stay here as opposed to having to go to, you know, Portland or another city to find work.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Val Hoyle, current state labor commissioner, Democratic candidate for Congress. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1. Tomorrow, Matt Hill, executive director of the Douglas Timber Operators, will talk about the recent decision by the State Fish and Wildlife Commission regarding the fish hatchery program at Rock Creek. We'll go in depth on the topic on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Later today, Peter Greenberg with Eye on Travel. Val Hoyle, Democratic candidate for Congress, on with us now. I'm curious how you would maybe contrast your strengths with those of your opponents.
I think that there are a lot of people that are running in this race that are in it for the right reasons, have a lot of passion, have experience in different areas. But fundamentally, I'm the only one that has experience as a legislator working in, you know, a tied legislature. I'm the only one that's had the experience in elected office, winning campaigns, representing both urban and rural districts. And I have over 40 years working in the labor movement. I have experience in the private sector. I've worked on public policy, from when I was in college on. And I have the relationships in this district in that I've delivered for these communities over and over again. So fundamentally, I have the experience. I know how to win a campaign. It is why I've earned the endorsement of Peter DeFazio, Senators Wyden, Senators Merkley, the League of Conservation Voters, Planned Parenthood, every labor union that's endorsed in this race, for a reason. I earned that support.
With the Democrats in the U.S. House likely to be in the minority after the midterms, how does that shift what an incoming Democrat could do?
I mean, I think that's why it's important to have someone that has experience. When I got into the legislature in 2010, we had a tied legislature. It was 30-30. And the people that were successful were people that were able to work across the aisle. Now, I do have to say in Congress, things are different. It used to be that infrastructure was something that was bipartisan, but there were only 11 Republicans that voted for the bipartisan infrastructure package, even though every district virtually has benefited from it. And those people mostly are retiring. So there is a focus, unfortunately, in the GOP to show up in Congress and choose not to get things done. But I'm someone that knows how to get things done. I know how to work across the political spectrum, which is why I have support from across the political spectrum. And again, I know how to work with people who think differently than me and find that place where we can agree and make things happen.
As you look at some of the federal issues, what are your thoughts on currently where things are going with the federal budget deficit?
I think the federal budget deficit is much like a mortgage. I mean, the deficit is coming down, and the best way for us to address that is to make investments in our community that bring jobs, really good paying jobs for working families, which is what we're doing. And again, whether it's the port in Coos Bay, whether it's you know, fixing our roads and bridges, upgrading rail. The bottom line is when people are doing well and people are working, then that's the best way to improve our economy.
What about foreign policy? Obviously, it would be something new where you've worked on issues locally and more issue-based topics. What do you look forward to in that area?
So my background, I have a degree in political science with a concentration in international studies. So that actually is a little bit of my background and something I'm interested in. One thing I think is important to note is that this is the first time, both of my children are in their 20s, this is the first time in their lives that we haven't had our military engaged in a foreign war. And I very much would like to ensure that we keep to that, although, you know, we are, as part of NATO, it's very important that we protect and support our allies. And again, like in Ukraine right now, I've been working with Ukrainian refugees that have come here in helping make sure that they get settled and that we support them in that way. I mean, these people are arriving traumatized and it is really horrible. But we need to support the Ukraine by sending them whatever support we can. And I absolutely support the sanctions that we have put on Russian banks and Russian oligarchs, to try and get them to pressure Putin to do the right thing.
A big chunk of land in Douglas County owned by the federal government. What's your thoughts about federal forest policy?
As I've said to many people who don't quite understand Oregon, forest policy here is very complicated. It is, because of the ONC lands, we have private lands and state lands and federal lands that are all managed differently. So this is something that I have worked on in the legislature, especially with the fires that we have. We have to figure out how to sustainably manage our forests and work together with both the state, the feds, and, you know, our private landowners to coordinate in our policy objectives. So, again, I have supporters from across the spectrum in where they feel about forest policy, but I think Peter DeFazio has done an incredibly good job, and I would certainly follow his lead.
As a member of Congress, you'd be representing parts of a number of different counties, a very diverse district, maybe one of the more diverse ones in Oregon in some ways.
Yeah.
How do you, what would your plan be for communicating with people in your district?
So much like as, I believe that the 4th Congressional District is a microcosm of the state. And my, you know, when I represented West Virginia Junction City, that was a microcosm of the 4th CD, which some really progressive areas, some really conservative areas, and a bunch of people in the middle that just want government to work and to do its job, right? So I would do what I've done as labor commissioner and what I did when I was a state representative. I believe that once you're elected, you're elected to represent everyone, not just the people that voted for you. So, you know, when after I got elected as labor commissioner, I went out to John Day, to the chamber, and they said, well, Westsiders only usually come when they're running for election. I said, well, I got elected to represent you, and asked them what they wanted. And they wanted assistance for the businesses that were there. So we got them staff in Eastern Oregon for the first time in 20 years, an apprenticeship and business technical assistance representative. And that's what I would do. I, like Peter DeFazio, would focus on constituent work and making sure that every single part of this district, regardless of if they're Democrats or Republicans, gets that access and representation. I've done it before, and I would love to be able to do it again as a congressperson for the 4th CD.
About 45 seconds left. You could kind of make this your final pitch as to why voters should consider you when they're looking at their ballot.
So, again, I have the most experience. I've delivered for both urban and rural communities. I've lived here for 22 years. And again, I have earned the support in that time for all of the elected officials and organizations that Democrats trust most. And I would be honored to have the votes of the people in the 4th Congressional District to go to Congress.
And if people want to find out more about you, talk about your website, et cetera.
Sure. It's www.valhoyle.com. So valhoyle.com. Check it out. And I just want to thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.